Welcome to Dementia Unraveled. I'm Lyndall Harris, a dementia doula, sharing information about dementia and brain health to help us better understand it. Did you know that nearly half of all dementia cases could be prevented or at least delayed? That's not a hopeful guess. That's what the research is telling us. And today I want to talk about what that actually means for you. We've spent this season talking about dementia, what it is, how it changes the brain, how to support someone you love through it. And I want to close season one with this because it's an episode that isn't about what's already happened. It's about things that you can still control. The Lancet Commission on Dementia Prevention, Intervention and Care is one of the most respected bodies of research in the world on this topic. Their 2024 report identified 14 modifiable risk factors for dementia, and I'm going to talk about a few others as well. Up to 45% of dementia cases worldwide could potentially be prevented or delayed by addressing these factors, and that statistic blows my mind because that's nearly half of all the diagnoses. Modifiable means that there's things that we can actually influence, so they're not about your genetics. And it certainly doesn't mean that dementia is your fault if it does happen, because genetics and other factors do still play a role. But it means that you can take these into consideration and think about how to interweave them in how you live your life. These risk factors cluster over different life stages, so you have early life, midlife, and later life. And you don't have to tackle all 14. Addressing even a few of them can genuinely shift your trajectory. And it's not an overwhelming list of things that you're doing wrong. It's just a list that will empower you and, as I said, something that you could weave into your everyday life. And I actually have got a free resource that maps all of this out, and I will pop the link for that in the show notes. So there's only one early life factor on this list, and that is low educational attainment. But here's the hopeful part. That's not just about schooling. It's about lifelong learning. Learning new skills, taking on new challenges, staying curious. This is what researchers call cognitive reserve building. And the brain is more adaptable than we used to think. So you can keep building at reserve across your whole life, not just in childhood. The midlife window is a really critical one. So between the ages of about 40 to 65, and that's where the heavy lifting happens. The first factor I want to talk about is hearing loss. And this surprises most people. But untreated hearing loss is one of the single biggest modifiable risk factors. When the brain has to work harder to process sound, it draws resources away from other functions. But the good news is getting your hearing tested and wearing hearing aids if you need to have been shown to reduce that risk. And if you've been noticing a change and putting off your hearing check, this is your nudge to go and get it done. High blood pressure is another one. It damages the blood vessels in the brain over time, so you should really get your numbers checked. And treating any hypertension lowers that dementia risk. Cholesterol, specifically high LDL or the bad cholesterol. This is a newly added one to the 2024 update, but I guess what we do know is what's good for your heart is good for your brain. Obesity. This is not about appearance. This is about metabolic and vascular health and the impact those have on your brain. Head injuries. Wear a helmet if you're doing contact sport, if you're riding bikes or riding scooters. Excessive alcohol. It's really worth having that honest conversation with yourself and your GP if you're drinking alcohol in excessive amounts. We're then moving into some of the later life factors, and it's never too late. Even in later life, addressing some of these factors can make a difference. Depression. It's not just a mental health issue, it's actually a brain health issue. Untreated depression is a genuine risk factor, so if you are struggling, please talk to your GP. Physical inactivity. Movement is medicine for the brain. It doesn't have to be intense, even regular walking counts. Social isolation. Loneliness and withdrawal accelerate cognitive decline. So connection matters. And that's why programs and community groups and social settings are so important. And you'll have heard me talk about in previous episodes cognitive stimulation therapy programs for someone with mild to moderate dementia. Diabetes, that blood sugar management really does matter for the brain. Air pollution. This is probably a little less in your control, but it's worth knowing. Green spaces and good ventilation, and avoiding heavy traffic areas all the time where you can. Vision loss. This is another one that was newly added in 2024. Untreated vision loss does increase that risk, so get your eyes tested and wear your glasses if you need to. And smoking. If you smoke, this is just another powerful reason for you to try and give up and maybe have a chat to your GP. They are the 14 that are listed in the Lancet Commission report. But beyond that official list, the research also points to some other everyday factors that support brain health. Chronic stress, nutrition, lifelong learning, cognitive stimulation, these all matter and they're things that can have some influence over time. Oral health. This one is emerging, but it's worth knowing about. Research is starting to suggest that there may be a link between gum disease and dementia risk. And a theory is that the bacteria involved in gum disease can travel through the bloodstream and cross into the brain that triggers inflammation. There isn't any definitive proof yet, but the association is strong enough that researchers are taking it seriously. And brushing and flossing is one of the lowest effort things that you can do for your health anyway. So see your dentist regularly, look after your gums as well as your teeth. Sleep. This one has real momentum. The Lancet Commission haven't formally added it to their list yet, but there's a growing body of research that suggests that consistently poor sleep, particularly disrupted or very short sleep over many years, is associated with a higher dementia risk. One of the theories is that the brain uses deep sleep to clear out that protein waste that builds up during the day, including the kind of protein that is linked to Alzheimer's. It doesn't mean one bad night's sleep will do any damage, but chronic poor sleep is worth taking seriously. And again, having a chat to your GP if it's something that you struggle with. So you don't have to have a perfect lifestyle. As I mentioned, you don't need to do all of these things. But having a brain-aware lifestyle and making some small consistent changes across time, that's where the real protection is. You may have heard different bits of information that say that whilst a diagnosis often happens later in life, dementia actually starts many years before a diagnosis. And that can be in that mid-range. So that's why this is the kind of information I am so glad that I have now. As I've mentioned before, dementia runs in my mum's side of the family. So being able to look at these risk factors and know that I can tweak how I'm living my life through this really critical stage makes a huge difference. And knowledge isn't scary. It's not knowing that's scary. So hopefully now that you know, you feel a little more empowered. As I mentioned, I have got a free resource called Protect Your Brain, and it maps out all of these risk factors across the lifespan in a simple visual way. If you'd like a copy, the link is in the show notes. It's free, and I hope you find it genuinely useful, whether it's for yourself or for someone you love. And that is a wrap for season one of Dementia Unraveled. We have covered lots of subjects from what dementia actually is to the early warnings, to the early signs, to how to communicate and connect, and today, how to protect your brain. I have really loved making this season, and thank you so much for all the positive feedback and comments. I absolutely love hearing that it has been helpful. If this podcast has helped you feel a little less alone or a little more informed, then it's done exactly what I set out to do. Make sure you are following the show so you don't miss what's coming next. And if you have any questions, please reach out to me. My contact details are in the show notes. And thank you so much for coming on this journey of season one of Dementia Unraveled. Thanks for listening to Dementia Unraveled. If you've enjoyed this episode, please follow the podcast and share it with someone who might find it helpful. Links to my website and socials and any resources mentioned can be found in the show notes. This podcast is for educational purposes only and isn't a substitute for professional medical advice.